What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Beat. Trevor Ray and Justin Fensterman coming to you live once again in Washington, D.C. Justin back at home. Feels nice. It feels right staring across from you. Bringing to you live, as always, on BaseballGuys.com. Owner, operator, oracle, fantasy pterodactyl, Raymundo Flowers. Thank you very much, as always, Ray, for this opportunity. And Justin, I have to say, it's nice to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to see you again, Trev. It seems like I've been all over the world, but really I've been to just two different places on the East Coast. I'm not a very worldly person, but it's good to be back with you, Trev, talking some basketball and football as always. How are you doing in your leagues, by the way?
Doing all right. Playoffs were a little bit rough week one. Had a couple of duds that did not help me out. Lost two of the three leagues that I had playoff leagues in. Still alive in one. Still striving for that championship season. Hoping to get it fenced in. Basketball, well, you know how that story goes.
Well, very quickly, Trev, last week on the Fantasy Beat, when you and I were facing off in our, you know, final week of the regular season in which I needed to win to clinch the playoffs, and you have a very stacked team, and this team could very well win the title in our league, you let me set two positions, I believe.
Correct, a flex and a QB.
That's right.
And I held my word.
Yes, you did. You did. You did hold your word. I really thought you were going to forget to switch your lineup, but you didn't. So you let me decide your quarterback. I put Robert Griffin III in instead of Joe Flacco. That worked out for me. However, I then put in Bobby Rainey.
Who had a good day.
Yes.
To say the least.
And CJ Spiller had a crap day, so I was wrong about that. So I was right one way, wrong one way. But, Trev, thank you so much for the opportunity, because if you put in Flacco and Rainey, I might have been screwed.
You might have been out had I set my lineup a little differently. You picked yourself a winning lineup, if you will, for you. Yep. And it worked out. Now we're both in the playoffs. I'm in the 1-4. You're in the 2-3. Hopefully we'll see each other in the championship, Justin. But I would be a little remiss if I didn't tell you I was searching the interweb. And I came across a little article, Justin.
Really? Not a video?
Not a video. An actual article. Fantasy basketball waiver wire. These 10 players may surprise you. Written by one Justin Fensterman on KFFL.
You actually looked.
I looked. I read it. I need a little help.
You read it.
That's right. I need some help on my waiver wire, Justin. So let's go over some of these players that are on this list. You know, you got number two here at a point guard, a position I'm looking at, as Randy Foye, as a guy from the Denver Nuggets, who's really stepped up his game. Why do you think he's such a good pickup?
I think he's a good pickup at this point because the Nuggets are giving a lot of guards playing time. If you notice, Trev, on this article, not only do I have Randy Foye on there, but I also have Nate Robinson on there. Both are getting playing time, and both are scoring, and both are getting the shot opportunities. What I like about Foye is that he's very quick, and he's good on defense. Will help you out in the steals category as well. So that's why I have Foye a little bit ahead of Robinson. Robinson falls under the fantasy beat cliche of ride the wave.
Gotcha.
So Robinson will be on and off your waiver wire, as will a few other of these players on this list all season long. But when they're hot, ride the wave, baby.
All right, so let's go ahead and talk about one of those guys that's been hot coming off the bench. I'm surprised how high you've ranked him in this list of 10 players. But, of course, you are a New York Knickerbockers fan. So Amari Stoudemire. Let's talk about Amari. We've seen his minutes, you know, slowly start to climb. We've also seen his production start to climb. Do you think this is something sustainable, or do you think this is just a little mini wave you can ride?
The Knicks are doing a lot of wrong things right now, but the one thing that I could definitely tell you they're doing right is how they're handling Amari Stoudemire and his rehabilitation from his knee as he still continues to recover from yet another knee surgery, Trev. So you said it, his minutes are starting to climb. He just played in his first back-to-back and was very effective in both games. You could tell as he's getting more minutes, he's getting his offense back. When you have Amari Stoudemire, he'll give you those 8.5 rebounds when he's at full strength, but really you focus more on the offense, because if Amari's at his best, he could get you over 20 points a game and keep your field goal percentage high, and also can shoot from the outside. But Amari has finally started to show the ability in the last few games that he could drive the lane. He might not be able to get up as high, but he's not afraid to drive the lane, and he's not getting hurt from it and experiencing really any soreness. So Amari is definitely a pickup, because at full strength, he's very, very effective.
All right, Justin, let's go over just at least one more of these guys on your list here. You had number 10, Jeff Taylor. He's available in 83% of most leagues from the Charlotte Bobcats. Why is he making the cut here?
He's making the cut because I give a lot of boom or bust candidates, and I give a few people who I think are actually going to be etched in and good for the season long. Jeff Taylor is one of those boom or bust candidates. When he's shooting well, the rest of his stats go well. So you could tell he really rides on emotion, and that's how he plays. Because when he's scoring, his confidence goes up, and his rebounding number goes up. Look at his game log. The more rebounds he has, the more points he has. It's a direct correlation. So when Jeff Taylor's on, if you have him on for two consecutive games, let's just say, why not pick him up and give him that start?
So is he a guy the rest of the way? Let's play a little addition here, champ or chump fence. Is he a guy the rest of the way you think is a champ or a chump?
Chump. I think when Michael Kidd-Gilchrist comes back, he's going to show his dominance on defense and eat up all those minutes that Jeff Taylor had. Unless Jeff Taylor starts shooting well every game and not have certain games 10%, but overall I say chump.
All right, let's go ahead and talk about a few other guys that have been, you know, outproducing where they were drafted and whether you think they are a champ or a chump the rest of the way, Justin. Isaiah Thomas for the Sacramento Kings. Guy's been averaging, you know, over 5 assists a game, averaging over 18 points a game. You know, Isaiah Thomas, do you trust him the rest of the way, champ or chump?
I would say champ. If you asked me before the season, as I always said about Isaiah Thomas, I think he is a chump. I really do. When I watch him play, I don't really like what I see. This year it's been a little bit different, though. So at this point, I'm going to say champ because the Kings and the Raptors just made that trade where they sent some guards, including Gravis Vasquez, to the Raptors, which completely leaves Isaiah Thomas alone with all the playing time he wants. So he controls his own destiny at this point with how often he's going to play every game.
A player that I've been absolutely shocked with out of North Carolina, John Henson for the Milwaukee Bucks, has been probably the biggest surprise for me so far this season. Getting close to averaging a double-double where he averages over 11 points per game, 7 rebounds a game. Justin, is this a guy? I mean, he looks so scrawny. He looks like he's going to get injured to me. I mean, do you trust him? Champ or chump, John Henson?
I think he's a champ unless Larry Sanders comes back. Your boy Larry Sanders.
God,
he can ruin this situation.
I hope he does.
He can. I'm not joking. Larry Sanders can come back in and be the Larry Sanders of last year, and John Henson or Chris Middleton's playing time is going. So whoever's hot at the time is going to keep their playing time when Larry Sanders comes back. They're paying him a hell of a lot of money. So if he comes back and can be effective, he's getting those minutes. But in regards to John Henson, I like him better than Middleton, so I'm going to go with a champ.
Another guy I want to talk about, Justin, that's been doing really well as of late, not as good as the other two players, but I want to know, as maybe just a guy that's going to ride your bench that you can kind of throw in on off days, a guy kind of more in deeper leagues, you know, guy that played a year at Iowa State, now Los Angeles Laker, Wesley Johnson. Is this a guy that you see as being fantasy relevant the rest of the way? Do you see him kind of carving a role in with the Lakers? Or do you think he's just a chump? I'm not expecting him to be one of your premier starters, but do you think he can at least help out? Should he be on lineups? I mean, I see him on just loads of waiver wires out there. Justin, champ or chump?
The problem is when Kobe Bryant's at full strength again, he's going to be eating up so many guard minutes. The good news for Wes Johnson, though, is that he can play multiple positions. He can even bring the ball up a little bit, too. So while Jordan Farmar's out, he might be able to salvage his playing time there as Kobe continues to get better. Kobe just came back, so it's going to take a few games. But I think Wes Johnson can help you. However, if you're looking at a bench option,
that's what I'm saying, right.
Champ. If you're looking for him to start, even in your utility spot every day, chump. So bench spot, champ. Because if all it takes is one injury, and he's getting a hell of a lot more playing time. But guess what else happened, Trev, this week? A little football game. That's right. The fantasy playoffs for most is here for fantasy football. And, of course, a lot of people having Broncos and Chargers. So biting their nails, people are wondering which Broncos receiver is going to be the big straight cash money player of the night. Andre Caldwell.
I mean, what?
Andre Caldwell.
You know, you got to love sports, as John Hanson always used to say.
If you own Eric Decker like myself.
I mean, it's just so crazy. If you're a Decker owner, if you're a Demaryius Thomas owner, I mean, you're sick to your stomach. I mean, for Decker and Demaryius Thomas to only get 5 targets apiece, but Andre Caldwell get 10? I mean, this is just Peyton being Peyton, making adjustments at the line, finding the guy with the bad matchup, and trying to exploit it as much as possible. You know, I mean, come on, man.
Man, I thought this was going to be the game where Eric Decker gets another multi-touchdown game.
I needed him in an auction league.
Ugh. Andre Caldwell. Whoever started Andre Caldwell, you deserve a medal and a cookie or something, and something else for that matter. Because it's unbelievable.
A punch to the face.
Right. Who's starting Andre Caldwell?
Morons. He's not started. He was a waste. unless you're in a daily league, this guy is absolutely pointless. Everybody was watching this happen, getting sick to their stomach. It makes zero sense. Unless you're playing against Eric Decker, you were livid last night.
Well, I'm sick to my stomach because I'm playing against Keenan Allen in a few leagues.
I am too. One who knocks just knocked on my door with Keenan frickin' Allen.
That is actually the one seed right now playing Trevor in one of our leagues.
Who I wouldn't have had to play if I were just chose to start my own lineup, but that's, you know.
Oh, here we go with the excuses. All right, so let's not divulge because we gotta get going here. Keenan Allen, two touchdowns. I'm not surprised. People were wondering about his health, especially over the last few weeks. Keenan Allen has shined in this offense, and Antonio Gates did pretty much nothing for me.
Yeah, Gates did nothing. Ladarius Green did nothing. Denver did a really good job, you know, protecting the tight ends. They didn't let the tight ends get any room, any space. You know, Antonio Gates was only targeted 3 times last night. You know, Keenan Allen was targeted 5 times, only came down with 2 grabs, and of course they both happened to be touchdowns. So had he not caught in touchdown passes, it may have been a different situation. But as soon as they got into the red zone, you saw multiple guys covering Antonio Gates. He had no room to work. They forced Phillip Rivers to go elsewhere. He went elsewhere. He found Keenan Allen.
All right, now, Trev, you know, we're going to leave this game. I just can't get over Andre Culbo with 10 targets last night. And the most on the Chargers was Eddie Royal, 6 targets. But got to love sports. So, Trev, I'm in a little bit of a situation that maybe some other Fantasy Beat listeners are in. It involves a lot of running backs. So, Trev, in this one league I'm in the playoffs, and this league, the league that you actually got eliminated from that I'm still in, I have to decide my running back core. I have Adrian Peterson and Maurice Jones-Drew both hurt. So my normal starting 3 running backs.
Which we will agree that if they're healthy, you're starting.
Starting Adrian Peterson, DeMarco Murray, and most likely MJD in my flex.
Right.
So that's what I've been going with every week.
Right.
So DeMarco Murray, obviously no health issues, he stays in. So at this point, I'm trying to justify which running back, let alone flex option, but which running back I can start. I'm left with the following options. I'm left with Maurice Jones-Drew, who is hurt, Adrian Peterson, who is hurt, and then I've got Fred Jackson, Bobby Rainey, and then I picked up Toby Gerhart from the waiver wire. So Trev, I don't know what to do, let alone a running back. I can't even bother to think about a flex option right now of these guys. But Bobby Rainey's got a terrible matchup against San Francisco, even though he's been getting the touches and running the ball well. Fred Jackson has been in and out all season long.
All right, we'll make this easy for you, Justin. We're going to make this real easy.
I'm nervous.
If Adrian Peterson does not go and Toby Gerhart does go, who is not a clean bill of health himself.
He's not.
He's got hammy issues. So if Gerhart is playing, Peterson isn't. If one of those two is starting, you play the starter for the Minnesota Vikings.
Why?
Because they're going to get loads of carries. The Philadelphia run defense is not very good. And let's be honest, you can't rely on Christian Ponder. You can't rely on Matt Castle. You can't rely on Josh Freeman. Whatever crap quarterback they throw out there, they're still going to run the ball first and try to play tough defense.
So over Fred Jackson, Bobby Rainey. And
yes.
MJD.
Bobby Rainey, I see doing absolutely nothing this week. I see him struggling significantly against the San Francisco. I know he's going to get some volume. I do not trust him. So then we go to your flex position. Again, MJD is healthy. I say you start MJD.
Okay.
Fred Jackson has a beautiful matchup against Jacksonville.
That's why I might want to start
Except
him.
Except for the fact that Jacksonville has been really improving over the last few weeks.
You're right.
They've been looking a lot better. Fred Jackson still is splitting time with CJ Spiller. This is one of these situations, Justin, that if Delanie Walker goes, if Delanie Walker is healthy, MJD is not, Delanie Walker is your flex play.
Wow.
Delanie Walker is going up against the Arizona Cardinals, who have been one of the worst defenses against tight ends. Just any tight end that you have against them, you have got to start them.
Everyone really? Even though he's coming off of a concussion?
The Philadelphia Eagles couldn't throw a tight end pass to Celek or Ertz almost all year long. Ertz gets 2 touchdowns. Celek gets 1 against the Arizona Cardinals. I'm telling you, if...
Do I start him over Dennis Pitta? Yeah, see? These decisions are so hard.
Right, I would start Dennis Pitta. They're in a dome. Flacco is going to give him at least 10 targets. I feel like that's safe. In a flex play, I like to play kind of the upside play. In that situation, I'm going to go to Delanie Walker. I think he's going to get loads of targets. I think he's got the best shot at red zone target. I'm playing Delanie Walker, you know, over Bobby Rainey. Over Mike Wallace. I think I'm going to do it over Fred Jackson most likely. I think that that's a coin flip between Fred Jackson and Delanie Walker. Delanie Walker is your big play. Fred Jackson is your safe play.
And Toby Gerhart's my second starting running back.
Your second starting, you start your running back from the Minnesota Vikings if there's one of them starting. If both of them are out, you start Fred Jackson, you go Delanie Walker in your flex, guaranteed, lock it up.
See, these decisions are getting harder and harder as you get further into your playoffs. Justin Fensterman, Trevor Ray, we hope we taught you a little something today. Fantasy basketball, fantasy baseball, fantasy football on baseballguys.com. Trevor, thanks so much again for the advice, man, and good luck in your playoffs.
You too, Fensterman. We need to bring home the quiche.
That's right. This is a Fantasy Beat.
Peace.